Wisconsin I is continuing to get reaction to the Governor Scott Walker's proposed 2015-2017 budget. We're glad that Mark Grappentine, a senior vice president with the Wisconsin Medical Society, has joined us. Mark, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here. Thanks for asking.
I didn't have a chance to interview you before the governor's budget. What was the Medical Society's top priorities, and then logically, did you win or lose?
Well, you know, we don't really go on wins and losses when it comes to state budget. You know, the Medical Society is most interested in making sure that patients in Wisconsin get taken care of. And when you think about what government does in this area on a day-to-day basis, the one area that impacts health care of Wisconsin the most is the Medicaid program.
One in five Wisconsin residents.
Yeah. And about half the births in the state.
Load.
Yeah, exactly. It's a gigantic program, and you can tell from the rhetoric before the budget was announced and right. You know, the overall costs that they had to put in additionally in order just to continue the programs that they have under eligibility and services and reimbursement. And you know, the governor's budget came pretty close to what they said they needed on that, and we're still digging through. We're less than 24 hours since the budget was announced. You know, I want to make sure everyone knows, you know, Stephen's got the big thing, and
I've got a sheet
of paper here, but, so it's,
I've
had a little disadvantage. But you know, we're looking at everything and how it all interacts, and as we go through different things, you've got the budget in brief, you've got the bill itself, you've got some of the summaries that come out from the administration, and you have to check all of them to make sure that you understand what's going on in all of those things. I think when you look at the areas of controversy for this budget, they don't necessarily fall into the healthcare world outside of the big elephant in the room, which is the Affordable Care Act, the federal system, and Medicaid expansion as part of the ACA. It's pretty clear that politically at this point, there isn't going to be much in terms of toes in the water when it comes to Medicaid expansion. We've heard some things from like Senator Olson that has said, you know, we need to look at this and keep
because
this in mind.
Because of deficit issues.
Well, and also just because of, you know, the availability of federal dollars and matching funds and the ability to cover more people more easily, which is important for the overall health of the state. Now, politically, you look at this and it's very interesting because, say, Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana comes out with his...
He's a Republican. He just found a way to get the feds to sign off on additional MA dollars.
He has done it in a more conservative way, yet when you look at the political ramifications of what he proposed and what he did, some in the far conservative press and think tanks really pilloried him. I mean, it was quite interesting to see the reaction. And when you have a governor who's exploring his options for a potential presidential run, and there's no doubt that that's going on, when you see reaction like that happen to a conservative governor in a different state, you know, what's the incentive there if you're exploring your options to go down that path when you have done something, in Governor Walker's credit, he did something that was unique in the nation in not taking the expansion dollars yet expanding coverage so that, you know, the line they use is that there's a 100% access now. Technically true. Certainly from the numbers you can see there is more access than there used to be with the removal of the caps on part of the Badger Care program. And so, you know, when we were going through the budget and you know, you had the Badgers game versus Indiana on one screen and the budget going on the other, you know, there was great success by the Badgers over here. And I think the governor was pretty successful in his proposals when it came to health care. I think what you have seen in terms of the reaction that's more controversial, it's clearly K-12. It's the colleges. Maybe you start getting into things like the drug testing and how some of the
transportation funding.
Well,
the bonding.
Exactly. The Buck Stadium, things like that. So
well, but let me ask you this: what's the position of the Medical Society on taking the federal money to expand Medicaid?
Sure. It's been no secret that we've been supportive of such a thing.
Okay, but you have to live in a very practical reality up there. The governor's not going to recommend it. Speaker Voss is not interested in it. Senate Republicans are not interested in it. So if I understand you're saying it's our goal that we think it'd be a good policy decision, but given that it's not going to happen, what's your fallback position then?
Right. Well, you know, hanging over this also is the U.S. Supreme Court case that could have a dramatic impact on the ability for states that have not created their own exchange to still,
like Wisconsin,
to have the federal supplements come in for those between, you know, 100 and 138% of poverty. And I think that a lot of these overall decisions, including Medicaid expansion, will hinge upon that. Because when the Supreme Court came out, you know, several years ago with that initial opinion that said you cannot hold a gun to the head of states and force them to expand Medicaid,
right.
Not a lot of people saw that as being the crux of the decision. It was kind of a surprise to everybody. And now you're starting to see the dominoes fall based on that, plus how the bill was crafted in Congress and you know, the nooks and crannies of all the different provisions to see if they feed off one another. So I think we're looking at a summer to early fall, once the Supreme Court of the United States makes their decision, to see what we have to deal with at that moment. And then if things are really torn asunder, you never know what the environment is going to be to go back and look at potentially exploring doing the Medicaid expansion, perhaps in a different Wisconsin-only way, much like Governor Pence could do with Indiana. You know, maybe there are ways that are palatable to the policymakers in this state that allow us to explore that option. Like you said, right now, sitting here in early February of 2015, it's just not an option. It's not going to be there. So there's really no practical purpose to bang our heads against a wall on a decision that's been made on the policy basis. So we just try to find the best way to use what the governor proposed in Medicaid, in his own Medicaid program,
right,
what the legislature wants to do with that, and then go from there and find the best
way.
Well,
last night when you had one eye on the Indiana game, which Wisconsin won, go Badgers, and the other on the governor's budget, you learned that there's no MA reimbursement rate increase in this budget. How important is that to your to the medical society and its members?
You know, that's pretty typical, honestly. You see some pilot projects that are in there. There's a dental services one that's new. There's some continuation of funding for disproportionate share hospitals,
yeah,
which
that's,
is...
That's worth 30 GPR, 75 all funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's an important thing, too. You know, when you look at the overall, again, that number that was hanging out there of more than $700 million that was needed just to continue costs.
Cost to continue,
yeah.
Given the additional caseload for MA, excuse me. For
no, that's fine. And you know, Wisconsin's Medicaid system tends to be more generous than other states. If you compare where our eligibility levels are with like Texas or some of the other states, it's actually, and services that are provided, it actually does a greater job. There is an understanding in the Capitol that there is underpayment of Medicaid.
Yes.
And that cost gets borne eventually in other areas. It's a cost shift because these systems in Wisconsin have to be able to function and provide the care that they want to be able to provide in a high quality way to as many people as possible. It's such a big nut, though. It's hard for these policymakers to get their heads around. Well, okay, so you want me to come in, I'm this newly elected person, you know, I'm feeling all fresh here in the Assembly or the Senate, and I'm supposed to approve an extra $1 billion just to increase reimbursement for physicians or others so that we can continue to provide the same amount of services to the same number of people. I can understand why that's a heavy lift, because you come to Madison hoping to either make changes or improve the system. You know, we at the Medical Society have kind of taken a stance of, you know, we need folks to understand that the reimbursement is below, especially in the physician world, often below the cost of providing the care.
Hospital Association rates it second lowest in the nation.
Yeah, and when you look at things like, even break it down to say ER physicians in the emergency department, they get, I think, the lowest in the country when it comes to reimbursement. And so, you know, you carry that out throughout the whole system. Thank goodness we have a system of integrated care where you can spread the cost around a gigantic system. Where in Wisconsin, if you have a big system like Aurora or UW or Gunderson or Marshfield, all that provide really high quality care, you can make those costs spread throughout their entire programs. And also you have less administrative overhead per physician or per patient served than you might see in other states. In Texas, like 90% of the docs in Texas are in one or two person shops.
Right.
So it's hard for those folks to be able to absorb certain things. Should healthcare have to bear the brunt and absorb these costs? Well, you know, where else is it going to go at this point when you still have to make the state run? So we try to make our priorities in different areas. You know, how do you provide coverage in a smart way? How do you make sure that government can be helpful to help the large systems or even the medium systems or small shops to be able to provide the services in the best way possible without government getting in the way or you're doing things in an incorrect fashion? Very rarely will we find ourselves really butting heads hard with, say, DHS about decisions made for you know, coverage choices or whatever. It's much more collaborative than combative.
Well, are you telling me then that the Medical Society is not going to turn to Joint Finance Committee and ask them to increase Medicaid reimbursement rates, which the governor has already passed on, because it's just not politically realistic?
You know, again, when you're in my business, which is lobbying, and you're in your business, which is, you know, figuring out what the where the truth lies and what the options are, you have to pick your spots, and you have to know what is likely to go through and what's likely not to. You know, one of the big GPR decisions this time around was disproportionate share hospitals.
Yes.
Again, that is for hospitals that see more Medicaid folks than others. Now, it's interesting, you talk with other states and other state medical societies, and if they saw a budget that had all this money going to hospitals, they might get all upset. You know, why are they getting money? And you know, we tend to look at it much more as, all right, these are hospitals that are taking care of people. And these people are able to come in and get services because you're able to do things like continuing the disproportionate share amount of money. And these hospitals are oftentimes employing physicians and nurses and PTs and PAs and all of these people. So, you know, the bottom line is about the patient and about the people. You know, healthcare will continue to thrive in Wisconsin the way that we have without, you know, going to joint finance and begging for money. Now, if they start doing things like, well, we have to pay for this bridge in Potosi, and we're going to take some money out of the Medicaid program and reduce your reimbursement, that would be an issue.
Well, my question, Mark, is you just said healthcare in Wisconsin will continue to thrive. Here's my question. Will it continue to thrive in what's called the medically underserved areas, many of which are in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Is that going to worsen without a MA reimbursement increase over the next two, three, 4 years?
It's such a complicated issue because it's not just about reimbursement. It's about getting people to move to the beautiful parts of our state that are in the rural settings.
Which are medically underserved.
Which are also
You've
medically
seen those maps.
Which are also medically underserved, absolutely. And it's not just medically underserved by physicians, it's medically underserved by everybody.
But especially by dentists too. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'd like to if you talk, well, I won't get into that here, but we may be a different offline topic.
Different show, okay.
Yeah, and you know, we're all in this together and trying to figure out how to get people into the areas so that they want to practice in those underserved areas. And sometimes it's reimbursement, but it's not often reimbursement. What you see is that where new physicians, young physicians do their residencies, if they do them in a place that is, say beautiful bucolic Chippewa Falls, which is even an urban area up there, but even somewhere else like Hurley or Tomahawk or something like that, if you can find a clinic and you can get somebody into a system that they can do their residency there, what you find is that these folks, when they do their residency, they put down roots, they fall in love with the area, they like the people they're in. You know, as long as you can get good internet service and you can watch the Badgers up in Tomahawk as well as down here in Madison.
Are they able to pay back their loans?
Yeah, well,
student loans?
And that's the other thing. You know, you face fiscal, if you're coming out of college, you're coming out of med school, you've been ensconced in student loans most likely for a number of years. Yes. So that when you graduate, you essentially have a pretty good sized house mortgage that you're already making payments for, but you don't have the house. So you have to figure out a way to incentivize new students coming into the system to say, you know, you don't have to choose some of the more higher paying specialties because you're worried about money. You know, it's great to have people go into the specialties because we need them everywhere. We need these people in all the different areas. But primary care is always a more difficult sell on the fiscal side just because reimbursement is more difficult. And that's not just in the Medicaid world, but also in the private pay world too. But really, it's getting these folks and these kids experience in the area so that they realize, you know, if you're in Rhinelander, you're not in the middle of nowhere. You're in a beautiful part of the state that has its own interests and pluses versus minuses if you lived in say, Madison or Milwaukee.
Okay.
And different people, you know, resonate differently, but you have to give those folks the experience. So one of the best things that can be done by you know, forward-thinking presidents or governors or whatever is graduate medical education funding and ensuring that the opportunities are there, much like we've seen the expansion in Green Bay and Wausau, where you're now having some satellite areas for the medical college where folks can do some residencies in those areas of the state, experience it, decide if they want to stay there or not. And the numbers generally say where you do your residency, you're much more likely to stay there and put down roots.
Did the governor's budget protect those training programs?
Still residencies? Going through. It seems like they are protected. We're still going through the budget, and it is a priority of ours to take that long-term view.
Okay.
And what was in the last budget with bringing those things online and starting those systems were very forward-thinking and embraced by, you know, the governor and both and Republicans and Democrats, because they see the importance of getting high-quality physicians into all areas of the state, you know, not just the southeast part, not just Madison, but you got to make sure that it's everywhere.
Well, you seem to be saying that the governor's budget, to use the oath first, didn't do any harm, right? to your
do politicians
members?
Have to take the Hippocratic Oath now? That'd be interesting.
No, but do your members of the Medical Society, is that a fair read? The governor's budget first didn't do any harm?
It seems on the healthcare side, you could niggle at certain things here and there. But from the overall scope, it's not surprising that for an area of the budget that's so large. I mean, you look at the outlay for Medicaid alone, and it's a gigantic part. I think it's the number two spender of GPR in this budget.
Yeah, it's right behind school aid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's going to hit in the 2015-27 biennium, 2 years, 18.6. That's all funds.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an incredible cost driver.
It really is, and that's why I think everyone takes kind of there's always partisan looks at everything. I mean, everyone looks at everything partisan-wise, especially in this town. But, you know, when it comes to healthcare, everybody needs healthcare. Everybody knows somebody that has healthcare experiences. Most people in the state are very proud of the healthcare experience that they get in the state because of the high quality, and so there's no incentive to do harm to our system. It's a point of pride among folks nationwide that Wisconsin does as well as they do with healthcare, and so it's an area of importance that everyone pays a lot of close attention to. But I think when you look at the reaction last night, you know, the real flash reaction that happened from those in the opposing party, they concentrated on the school stuff. They concentrated on the K-12. The vouchers. They
also want the additional
UW.
Federal money from MA expansion.
Well,
I heard that from Democrats.
Yeah,
they
did.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's okay.
They concentrated on the UW. They concentrated on transportation.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats don't like the drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They didn't do the nuts and bolts. But let me ask a 10,000-foot question. Since the ACA became law, we're two or 3 years into it now, has it resulted in major changes in healthcare practices in Wisconsin? That's a 10,000-foot question, so you don't have to, you know, give me a treatise. But
yeah, you know, the data right now are anecdotal at best. But what you see is that you have, in some areas, seen a reduction in the amount of ED use or emergency department use, and hopefully, you know, more people choosing. Hopefully, that's not because people are choosing to not get health care at all. It's hopefully they're getting their health care on a more proactive basis, maybe accessing a primary care physician when before they could not. But perhaps they've been able to get something a little bit more easier under the ACA. The health care response, generally from a practice boots on the ground standpoint, hasn't seen outside of certain anecdotal things around the state, it has not been a dramatically negative thing. The problem becomes more of a philosophical one, and that's where the Medicaid expansion comes. You know, usually the argument against Medicaid expansion is that the federal government is providing gigantic incentives to expand because they're going to pay for all this, and they're only going to drop from 100% reimbursement, you know, paying for everything down to 90%.
Okay.
And the argument is that, well, there's no way they're going to keep that 90% level. They're going to drop it down 85, 80 until, you know, states are all of a sudden on the hook for a gigantic bill. Now, you can come up with examples in the past, not off the top of my head, but in different areas where the federal government has promised to make all sorts of payments in certain areas and they have not followed through. Because one Congress can't bind the hands of the next one. It's the
Absolutely
same at the state level.
Yep.
And when you're talking about something with, you know, you've got a chart in front of you that shows the slope of spending that is pretty large. If you have a dramatic change in what the feds will reimburse, you know, compared to what the states do, you could all of a sudden be in a gigantic world of hurt. And so their long-term view philosophically is, you know, tax dollars are tax dollars. And so whether it's the feds paying for it versus the state, that doesn't matter because tax dollars are going to these entitlement programs. That's one part. The second part is that subset. The feds aren't going to follow through on their promises, and we're going to be stuck with the tab, and then what do we do?
Do I hear you saying that from a healthcare standpoint in Wisconsin, you're more worried about the federal picture, the future of the Affordable Health Care Act, and potential cuts to Medicare, and are you going to spend the next few weeks telling legislators, the governor, all things considered, recommended a pretty good budget, don't mess it up?
We'll certainly keep our eye. We never tell legislators don't mess things up. What we'll do is we will disagree with them if they have ideas that we think aren't as forward thinking or far reaching. And that might just be because they don't have the information that some of us that deal with this every single day have.
Okay. You're not going to play offense to add any new major initiative to the governor's budget that he announced yesterday.
Do you think we can get a lot more money in reimbursement?
Not unless you know something about state tax collections that I don't.
You know, we all fear the Governor Walters regime, but, you know, when that happens, then maybe I'll come
there
knocking on your
be.
Door for that kind of thing. You know, it's like you said, you got to be pragmatic about these things.
Right.
There are certain other issue areas that we're looking at. I mean, the workers' comp system is important.
Yes.
You know, you look at the reorganization of state agencies and how that's going to function. Is that important? There's a change in the budget that changes licensing in the state from a 2-year license cycle to a 4-year license cycle. You know, what are the ramifications of that? We're not quite sure. It's probably a pretty good administrative savings, and for systems that have to deal with licensing of everybody, maybe going to 4 years is good. But we want to make sure that you're not missing things in the meantime, and we're looking at stuff like that, too, to ensure that we can all move together on health care the best that that the state can.
So, governor's budget, in a soundbite, did no harm in the
so
eyes
far
of the
as
medical
we've looked
society?
At it, you know, they have a big nut they have to crack, and I think they did the best with what they could. There's certainly things that are hanging out there that we might have to explore in the future because of Supreme Court decisions,
right.
But we'll take that when it comes.
And when that Supreme Court decision comes, you'll be sitting back in that chair, I promise.
I won't be wearing a tie, I'll tell you that,
okay.
But I might be here.
Mark Grappentine, Senior Vice President of the Wisconsin Medical Society. Thanks for coming in to
sure.
talk about the budget.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.